This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So, brothers and sisters, we're going to be starting now, inshallah ta'ala, with our next talk with our speaker, Ustad Adnan Rashid, who's going to be speaking about the Milad to do or not to do. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad Adnan.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to Newcastle Fast FM. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine. Thank you very much.
How are you doing? I'm good. Alhamdulillah, good. We've been waiting your arrival. So, alhamdulillah, we're very happy for you to be here. So, inshallah ta'ala, I've given a short biography of yourself. So, you can...
I was actually under the impression that I'm already inside the studio, and I was kind of not aware that I had to click that button there at the bottom. So, maybe for the last seven to five minutes I was there. Anyway, alhamdulillah, we're in now. I think you have already introduced me, right?
Yes, alhamdulillah, I'll give a short biography about the your studies and the various debates that you've been. Alhamdulillah, I've been following a lot of your work over the years. So inshallah, I'll hand over to you to make a start on the topic today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and I will start now. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah ma'ba'd. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله ورسول وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I am very honored to be here with you today on Fast FM. Thank you very much for inviting me to all the brothers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to take maximum knowledge from these sessions. These sessions can go a long way in discussing these topics. And today my topic, brothers and sisters, is to do or not to do the Milad. Okay. Firstly, I will explain what Milad is. Milad is basically celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I understand it correctly, it is on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal every year. In the Islamic calendar, Muslims around the world, a lot of Muslims around the world, not all, they celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the logic is that on this day, Allah manifested His mercy for the worlds, like Allah promised in the Quran, or Allah testifies in the Quran. A'udhu billahi samil alim min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the Quran that, oh Muhammad, we sent you not except as a mercy for the worlds. So the logic goes that if this mercy was manifested on this day, why shall we not celebrate it? And this is a very interesting logic. It is a logical logic. Okay, makes sense to celebrate good days. But you see, the issue is we as Muslims are bound to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By default, by the very nature of our faith, by the very nature of our proclamation that we use to enter Islam. For example, when do we become Muslims? When we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay. In other words, we have, two testimonies. Number one is, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Number two is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His messenger. The question is now, what do these two testimonies actually constitute? Practically speaking, what do we have to do? These two testimonies, actually, they require of us to follow Allah and follow His messenger. Okay, follow His messenger because we have to follow Allah. So we follow Allah by following the teachings of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so my brothers and sisters in Islam, what you must understand is that worship in Islam constitutes by default, by nature, following of the one you worship. Okay, so we worship Allah. We worship Allah alone. We do not worship any man. We do not worship any other deity. We worship one deity, and that is Allah. We are muwahidun. We are monotheists. We are monotheists. We believe in one God who created the heavens and the earth. And by that virtue, we must obey that God. We have to obey him. And when he tells us to do something, we do. And when he tells us not to do something, we don't do. Likewise, we obey the Prophet not because we worship the Prophet. We obey the Prophet because in obedience of the Prophet, we are obeying Allah. I hope that makes sense. In obeying the Prophet who told us how to worship Allah, it is the Prophet who came on earth and he told us how to worship Allah, how to worship that deity we are supposed to worship. Allah did not come down to earth to tell us how to worship. Allah sent his prophets at different times in different places. And the last messenger of Allah was Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why did I do this introduction? To explain one simple point. Our do's and don'ts come from Allah and his messenger. I repeat, as Muslims, our do's and don'ts come from Allah and his messenger. This is why I opened this particular lecture with the verse of the Quran, whereby Allah tells us, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe. O you who claims to believe. O you who believe. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Obey Allah and obey his messenger. And here, wa ulil amri minkum. Here, Allah puts another caveat. And those who are in power among you, or who are influential among you. And of course, the scholars of Islam have explained who the Ulil Amr are. The Ulil Amr are two classes, the rulers and the scholars. As long as the rulers and the scholars obey Allah, we obey them, we follow them. And when they do not obey Allah, then we go back to Allah and his messenger. How do we know that? Again, the same verse explains further. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. So if you differ with them in anything, with who? With the Ulil Amr. The Ulil Amr. Minkum. Okay. So those who are in power among you, if you differ with them, then the final authority for a Muslim is Allah and his messenger. This verse of the Quran amply clarifies for us as Muslims that we are to obey Allah and his messenger, and we obey the messenger because Allah commands us to obey him in the Quran. Allah commands us to obey him, because when we obey him, we obey Allah, because he tells us what Allah tells us. And this is why our do's and don'ts come from Allah and his messenger. So the topic, lo and behold, hence, to do or not to do the Milad is a very good question. So I explained earlier, Milad is basically celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in order to celebrate the Milad or not celebrate the Milad, we really need to ask this question of Allah and his messenger. Did Allah command us to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam anywhere? We do not find any verse in the Quran. Okay, because we are told by Allah to follow Allah, to obey Allah clearly, explicitly. Okay, in a very, very, very clear verse that we obey Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. And we obey his Rasul. So now the second point, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us to celebrate his birthday? Okay, now I have clarified that our do's and don'ts come from Allah and his messenger. Ultimately, our do's and don'ts come from Allah and his messenger. Allah did not tell us to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he did, we would happily celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. And if the Messenger of Allah did command us to do it, we would happily do it because it would be the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. But if Allah did not command it, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not command it, then shall we do it? Now that's a very good question. We do not find Allah commanding it. We do not find the Messenger of Allah commanding it. Okay, we have thousands of reports from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowhere do we find that the Messenger of Allah actually celebrated his birthday on the very day he was born, like the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, for example, if he was born on that day, or the 9th or the 10th of Rabiul Awwal, because we don't even know when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born for sure. There are no authentic reports in this regard. We have no idea for sure with certainty that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 12th or even the 10th or even the 9th of Rabiul Awwal. What we do know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam definitely passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, because we have reports on that. We have reports on that. Okay. So 12th of Rabiul Awwal, if anything, is the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So we have no certainty, we have no clear reports whether he was born on the 12th. Okay, that much is clear. Okay. And this argument can be seen in Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Furi's book, Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum, which I have here with me on the shelf, if I can find it here. This book is a must-read, anyone interested in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum, this one is an Urdu translation of the book. In this very book, this is one of the best ways to celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this has been commanded to learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi is basically reading this book and acting upon it. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi commanded us to learn about him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that we must learn his sunnah. We must learn about him in order to follow him. Right? There are so many reports. For example, the report I narrated in the very beginning of this khutbah, okay, which is what? Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiin min ba'di. Upon you is my way and the way of my rightly guided successors. Okay, so the Prophet commanded, you must follow my way. And how would you know his way if you do not read authentically narrated biographies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this is one of them, highly recommended, Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum. In this book, Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Furi collects research on as to when the Prophet was born. It is not clear when, on what date. We do know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on Monday. We do know because there is a clear report on that, but we don't know the date, whether it was the 12th, whether it was the 9th, or whether it was the 10th of Rabiul Awwal. And we do know that the Prophet ﷺ would fast on Mondays and on Thursdays. Okay. And if someone wants to celebrate as to how the Prophet ﷺ paid any regard to the day he was born, then we must fast on Mondays to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because he would ask, Ya Rasulullah, why do you fast on Monday? He said, this was the day when I was born. So every Monday, you must fast to follow his sunnah if you truly, really want to follow him in the way he himself paid any regard to the day he was born. Okay, with regards to celebrating the Milad, what we call the Maulid, on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, like it is celebrated from Morocco to Bangladesh, unfortunately, there is no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah in this regard. Okay. And this is the answer to this question, to do or not to do the Milad. Okay, the answer is, in my humble opinion, a student's opinion, following our ulama who have explained this very clearly, that there is no evidence, okay, in the aqwal of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the af'al of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the taqareer, or in his taqreer, for example, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither did he command by word, nor did he act on it, and nor did he agree to it. Okay, so the Prophet did not command it, he did not do it himself, and he did not agree to it. So if we do not find any injunctions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to celebrating the Mawlid, then why shall we do it? Now there is a logic. A lot of people come up with this logic that it is a noble day, and indeed Allahu Akbar, the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born was one of the best days in human history. Anyone who says otherwise is not truly a believer. You cannot be in love with the Prophet. It is a condition of Iman to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet himself commanded the believers to love him more than anyone else in human, you know, existence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is narrated by Imam Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in." You will not believe until you love me more than your parents, your children, and all of mankind put together. You can never love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you can never love others more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you are a true believer. Okay, so to be a true believer, you must love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone else. Now, if that's clear, then in Islam, by necessity, love constitutes obedience, especially when it comes to Allah and His Messenger. When it comes to Allah and His Messenger, you cannot pay lip service, okay, towards Allah and His Messenger. You can't claim from your lips or from your mouth that I love Allah, I love the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, lip service in Islam is cheap, okay? It's cheap if it's not backed by action, okay? So if you claim to love Allah and His Messenger, then you must obey them, as Allah commands in the Quran, okay? By necessity in Islam, love towards Allah and His Messenger constitutes obedience towards them. So because we have to love the Messenger of Allah more than all humanity, including our parents and children, then we have to obey Him, okay? And that obedience means we obey Him in what He commands, and we obey Him what He forbids. This is also from the Quran. This is also in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ma ataakum ar-rasul fakhudhuhum fakhudhuhu wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu." Okay? The Messenger of Allah, when He gives you something, Allah commands in the Quran that when He, the Messenger of Allah, gives you something, will you take it firmly? In other words, you obey Him, you follow Him. Okay? And when He forbids something, when He prohibits something, then you abstain from it. You abstain from it. You do not go and do it. Okay? So now many people can turn around and say, okay, that's clear. We have no problem with that. We are believers. We are Muslims. We follow Allah and His Messenger, and we obey them. But where did they command us not to do it? Is the question. A lot of people ask this question. Okay, fine. You're saying Mawlid was not commanded by Allah. Fair enough. Mawlid was not commanded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never said, celebrate my birthday, okay, on the day I was born. He never said that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, for example, once a year, you celebrate my birthday, okay? I'm pretty sure Sheikh Azhar before me has spoken about the history of this particular idea, this concept, where it came from. And in order to understand that fully, maybe you should go back to his lecture. I'm not going to indulge in that topic, okay, the history of it, where the idea came from. I'm pretty sure he covered it. Okay. With regards to the question, okay, why shall we not do it? It's clear. The people would say, yes, it's clear that he did not command it. Okay. He did not do it. He did not agree to it if someone did it. But no one did it in his lifetime. No one did it. Okay. So a lot of people give this reference that Abu Lahab freed his one of his female slaves on the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. But that's not a reference for us. Abu Lahab is not our authority. He's not the one we follow. We are commanded to follow the Messenger of Allah, not Abu Lahab. If Abu Lahab does something, it doesn't become Islam. It doesn't become law for us. It doesn't become our jurisprudence. Rather, if anything, okay, we need to scrutinize it in the light of what the Prophet taught, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if Abu Lahab does something, okay, it doesn't become virtue. It doesn't become a virtue, right? So that said, a lot of people can turn around and say, okay, we accept Allah did not command it. The Messenger of Allah did not command it. He didn't do it. He didn't agree to it. Where did he forbid it? Where did he forbid it? So why shall we not do it? What's wrong with it? It's only logical to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the best days in human history. Okay, people can a lot of people give these references that such and such government they celebrate the national day and they are dancing with swords and all of that. So if they can do that, why can't we do that for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you can celebrate the birthdays of your children, why can we not do that for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you can do your anniversaries, your wedding anniversaries, the celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important than that. And I agree. But all these other things I mentioned, are they part of our religion? No, none of you will say that. None of you will say that. But anything we do with regards to the life of the Prophet or about him becomes deen. It becomes religion. And religion has to be qualified by two sources, or in light of two sources: the Quran, the word of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If an action we do in deen, a religious act, if we do it, then it has to be qualified from two sources: the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having clarified that, now coming to that question, why can we not do it? What's wrong with it? Okay, fine, there is no clear command to do it. Allah did not command it. But where did they forbid it? Okay, great. Now the answer is as follows. Allah told us in the Quran to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, we have to follow it. And whatever he forbids, we have to not do it. Okay. So in one of the clear reports from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was talking about previous prophets and their followers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they were prophets and Allah gave them companions, supporters. And those companions, they upheld the religion of those prophets. They kept it pure. Then came those afterwards who, mark these words, please. Then came those afterwards, after the companions of those prophets who were supporting the prophets and their messages, then came afterwards, after those people, those yaquluna ma la yaf'alun. They would say what they would not do. In other words, they were hypocrites. Later on, people who came later after the prophets and their companions and their followers, these people, يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ, they would say what they would not do, وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا لَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, and they would do what they were not commanded to do. Allahu Akbar. These words are golden words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So number one, and the Prophet is condemning these people, by the way, because the remaining of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who struggles against them is basically a mujahid fi sabilillah. Okay, if you struggle with tongue, or if you struggle against them in any shape or form, you are someone who is struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is authentic. It is an authentic report. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is condemning a people with two qualities, with two characteristics. Number one is يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ. They would say something they would not do, like the Quran condemns such people. The Quran condemns such people. لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تفعلون لما تقولون على تفعلون. Okay, why do you say what you do not? Why do you preach and not practice? For example, in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah condemns Banu Israel. For what? Okay, أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون. That you will command people to do good and forget yourselves while you read the book of Allah. Will you not believe? Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون. Why do you say what you do not? Here, the Messenger of Allah in this hadith is using that Quranic injunction to clarify. يقولون ما لا يفعلون. They say what they do not. And the second characteristic is very important. ويفعلون ما لا يؤمرون. And they do what they were not commanded to do. Allahu Akbar. So those people who do things that were not commanded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in deen stand condemned. They stand condemned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. This is why someone who understands these things cannot possibly do anything that was not commanded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you do things in Islam that were not commanded, then you stand condemned, according to the hadith I have just quoted. Okay, to do or not to do the milad is that very question I am addressing today, brothers and sisters. Okay, so in light of what I have said so far, it is clear anyone who truly loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't doubt the love of the people who do the milad. I'm not insulting them. I'm not degrading them. I understand their love. Okay, it is love. It may be misguided, but it is love. We cannot say it is hate. We cannot say it is enmity towards the Prophet. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. We understand that many people have a lot of deep love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they want to express their love in different ways. And it is understandable. It is understood. But how do we love the Prophet? Do we love the Prophet the way we want to love him? If I feel like hanging upside down from the roof to express my love to the Prophet, towards the Prophet, you may see my love, you may see my passion, you may see my, you may see some, dedication towards the Prophet in my actions, but are those actions qualified Islamically? Are those actions valid, legitimate Islamically? Is the question. You may do actions, okay? But those actions, if they are religious, if you want to call them Islamic, is celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an Islamic act? This is a very good question, because anything to do with the Messenger of Allah is Islamic. His legacy, his life, following him, loving him, is all to do with Islam. So obviously, by extension, naturally, celebrating his birthday is an Islamic act. It is an act of Islam. And if you want to call it that, then it has to be qualified from Allah and his messenger. And true love, by necessity has to be qualified Islamically. Okay, and if the Prophet did not command it, and he forbade us from doing things that we were not commanded to do in Islam, then it's a big problem. So now you see a lot of people having heard this, okay, Allah did not command it, we understand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not command it, we understand. And now we can see how he might have forbidden it, because he said, don't do things you were not commanded to do, because those people stand condemned. But what about Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman? They did things they were not commanded by the Prophet to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did certain things. For example, the codification of the Quran. The Quran was codified, collected in its current form after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, apparently, you know, he commanded people to get together and pray together in Ramadan, and it became Taraweeh. And Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anh, his rasam of the Quran, for example, it wasn't necessarily, sanctioned directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it was, you know, the spellings of the Quran, okay, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not read and write. So the spellings of the Quran, as we find it, the rasam of Uthman, which was unanimously agreed upon by the Sahaba, was not necessarily sanctioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although the content, the qira'ah, the reading of the Quran was, okay, the physical form of the Quran. So all these things are very important. So why did these people do that? If they were not commanded to do these things, why did they do these things? Now, the answer to that question is, brothers and sisters, that they had the authority. They had the authority to do what they did, and they did everything with the ijma' of the Sahaba, the agreement of the Sahaba. Okay? So, the Prophet ﷺ in a clear report stated, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ. Upon you is my way and the way of my rightly guided successors. And then he clarified the boundaries. He determined the boundaries of that particular period he was talking about. He said, my rightly guided successors will be for 30 years. Allahu Akbar. Authentic report narrated by Imam Ahmad in Musnad Ahmad. That my rightly guided successors will be for 30 years. So that includes all four caliphs. In fact, some people say even Hassan radiallahu anhu, his 6 months also form a part of it. Okay, so in other words, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, their actions, especially when they were not challenged and rejected by other companions, are sanctioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These actions are under the protection of Allah. They were done through inspiration, not wahi, but inspiration. Allah put this in their hearts. Allah made them think for them to do basically the codification of the Quran and other things. But after them, anyone claiming any action in Islam, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to accept it. We will not accept it from anyone. So the Prophet and the Khulafa, their sunnah we have to follow. And even with the Khulafa, everything has to be qualified in light of the Quran and the sunnah. Allahu Akbar. Okay? So the reality of the Quran comes from the Prophet. Therefore, codification is not going away from the way of the Prophet. Taraweeh was started by the Prophet in the month of Ramadan. He prayed for 3 nights. So Umar did not invent it. Okay? For example, Uthman was already putting down an already existing reality of the Quran into the paper or into the parchments. Right? So, having explained all of this, what is the summary, brothers and sisters? The summary is that we are, as Muslims, as believers, we are bound by the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. Allah tells us in the Quran. In fact, Allah tells the Prophet in the Quran to tell us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you tell them, or you say, okay, my life, my death, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, my death, my prayer, my sacrifice, everything is for Allah. Everything is for Allah. So it is all about Allah. Everything goes back to Allah. Okay, obedience is for Allah. We obey the messenger to obey Allah. So we love the Prophet in order to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So when we love the Prophet, we have to obey him. And when we obey him, we have to follow his do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts come from him. It is now clear that there is no evidence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to celebrate the Maulid. If that was the case, there would be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived for 23 years after becoming a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not do it, not even once. Okay. Did the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, did the Prophet live it? He lived 23 of them after becoming the Prophet of Allah, after he was declared as the Prophet of Allah. Of course, he was the Prophet of Allah in the knowledge of Allah from eternity, but after he was declared to be the Prophet of Allah. For 23 years, he had 23 12th of Rabiul Awwals. Did he celebrate one of them? No. The answer is no. He had over 100,000 companions. Did any of them celebrate the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? No. No. There were hundreds of thousands of Tabi'een, the students of the Sahaba. Did any of them celebrate or tell us to celebrate? No. Then there were A'imma, okay, successors of the successors, Tabi Tabi'een. Did they tell us to do it? Or did they do it? No. Did the four Imams do it? Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Did they do it? Or did they command us to do it? No. I'm talking about Mawlid, by the way. Okay, doesn't stop there. The Sahha Sitta, the six authentic collections of Hadith, collected by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam At-Tirmizi, Imam An-Nasa'i, Imam Ibn Majah. All six of them. Did they command us to do it? No. Did they do it? No. Would they have knowledge of it if anyone did it? Absolutely yes, because they were the ones collecting all the information on the life of the Prophet. So any little information, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. Any little piece of information that could be possibly collected, even how the Prophet sneezed, let's say, for example, or how he smiled, okay? Any information like that was worthy of being collected by these people. Would they know if the Prophet ﷺ or any of his followers celebrated the Mawlid? Absolutely, they would know. But they did not find any information on that. Otherwise, they would have transmitted it. Now, if that's the case, the question is very, very, very clear. And the answer is also very clear. To do or not to do the Mawlid, the answer is no. It is not to be done because it is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And finally, the last hadith I want to share with you, which is very, very powerful in this regard, it is in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina haza ma laysa minhu fa huwa raddun." Anyone who invents a new matter into this deen, anyone who brings up something new in Islam, in other words, and it is not from Islam. Islam is the Quran and the Sunnah. Islam is the Quran and the Sunnah. And it is not from Islam. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. It is rejected. In Sahih Muslim, the wording is مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا Anyone who does an action and there is no injunction from us on that action. Okay? There is no injunction from us. Okay? That action. From the Prophet, make it amply that we are not anything, especially in Islam, which is not commanded by the Prophet, not done by him, not agreed to by him. Okay, and things we do in the name of Islam, which we think he never forbade, even those things have to be qualified from his Sunnah, because he said, "Don't do things you were not commanded to do in Islam." In Islam, don't do things you are not commanded to do. On that note, I stop. I hope I have made my point very, very clear. I couldn't be clearer. May Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, for listening to me, for giving me your time. And if there are any questions, if there is a Q&A session, I will be more than happy and I'll be honored to answer whatever questions you may have. Jazakumullah khairan for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for the talk. It was hugely beneficial. We had a question that was quite common and kept coming up quite a lot. Is people were saying that this is a Salafi or a Wahhabi opinion. I was wondering how could you elaborate on that, on that sort of question?
Okay. It has nothing to do with being Salafi or Wahhabi. It has all to do with following the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, were the Sahaba Salafi and Wahhabi? Were the Tabi'in Salafi and Wahhabi? Were they also Wahhabi? Were the Taba Tabi'in Wahhabi? Was Imam Abu Hanifa Wahhabi? Was Imam Malik Wahhabi? Did they hate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In fact, those people who do not do Mawlid, is not because they hate the Prophet. It's not because they don't love the Prophet, their love is lacking. It's exactly for the opposite reason. It's because they love the Prophet. It's because they really, truly, deeply, with passion, they love the Prophet, that they don't want to do anything against the Sunnah. They don't want to invent things, because they know that the Prophet told them not to invent things. Don't start inventing things in the name of Islam. So was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Wahhabi? Was Imam Malik Wahhabi? Was Imam Bukhari Wahhabi? Was, you know, all the muhaddithin for the first 400 years, the most learned men in the history of Islam, were they all Wahhabis for not doing the Mawlid? That's the answer. If they did the Mawlid, then of course they were not Wahhabis. And if they didn't do the Mawlid, they were still not Wahhabis, because this term Wahhabi was invented later on by the colonial establishment in the Indian subcontinent. It's a new term used in a derogatory way to describe people who are not, you know, into inventing things. But we don't care about these terms. I don't care about these terms, Wahhabi or non-Wahhabi. The question is, 400 years, the first 400 years of Islam, all these learned men who gave us Islam, were they all Wahhabis who are not celebrating the Mawlid? The answer is there. That's the answer.
Okay. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you for that beneficial talk. Alhamdulillah, it was really good. And inshallah, you'll be coming on to Newcastle Fast FM again in the future, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much. Are we done for now?
Alhamdulillah, we're done for now.
Thank you so much. Allah bless you all. Allah bless Fast Amen. FM team. Thank you for inviting me, Brother Richard. May Allah bless you and all the shiuch who are coming and talking. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi.